Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel in Luke 17. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. This is God's word. If you were here last Sunday, when we talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan, then maybe you're having a little deja vu. Because we've got another Samaritan in our gospel today. Now, if you weren't here last weekend, do not fret. You will not be at a disadvantage this morning, because we're going to use today to reemphasize something we said last week. That when you read the Bible, you need to look for Jesus. And maybe sometimes look a little deeper than you're accustomed to looking. And boy, these two readings with Samaritans in them help us do that. What's a Samaritan? A Samaritan is an illegitimate child of God of sorts. What I mean is, God's children were Israel, and Samaritans kind of used to be Israel. About 600-700 years before Jesus came, certain people in Israel went after false gods. They intermarried with the pagan nations surrounding Israel, and they basically rejected the true worship of God, of Yahweh, the God of Israel. They rejected the temple. They rejected the sacrifices. They rejected the law of Moses. They basically did their own thing. So they're people who kind of, sort of, are related to all those Jews in Judea, in Israel in Jesus' day. But they're really looked down upon by the Jews because they don't have the true worship. They are the illegitimate children of God, in a sense. And yet last week it was a Samaritan in a story told by Jesus who stopped to help a man beaten and bloodied on the side of the road. And we looked at that story and we were reminded that we should love one another, even those who aren't like us, like that Samaritan helped that wounded Jew. But we were also reminded, because the Bible points us to Jesus and shows us Jesus on every page, that Jesus is the true Good Samaritan, the Great Samaritan, the one who cares for us, binds us up, who are bleeding and dead with sin, who cares for us until his return. Enter today the next Samaritan, a leper, healed by Jesus on the way between Samaria and Galilee, we read in our gospel this morning. He's one of 10 lepers. Leprosy was a skin disease. And according to the Old Testament, the law of Moses, if you had leprosy, you were required to live outside the camp, outside the city where God's people were. You were outcast. You were unclean. These lepers see Jesus coming. They cry out to him to do what Jesus does. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Knowing that Jesus is a Lord of mercy, they call on him to show mercy to them. And he does. He says, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they go, it says, they were cleansed. Now, why did Jesus tell these leprous people to go to the priests? Well, it was because, first of all, God had commanded it. All the way back in a book of the Old Testament we call Leviticus. We started a study of Leviticus this past Thursday at our 10 a.m. study. If you want to get into the nitty-gritty of the Bible, come study Leviticus with us on Thursday mornings. How many of you have read through the entirety of the book of Leviticus? It is messy. It is bloody. It is, at times, flat out disgusting. And there are many, many noble goals of Christians who set out to read the Bible from cover to cover. They get through Genesis and Exodus, and then they get to Leviticus. They're like, what in the world is this? What does this have to do with me as a Christian? But I want to ask you, if the Bible tells us of Jesus from cover to cover, in every book, on every page, if the point of the Bible is to point us to Jesus, then Leviticus must point us to Jesus as well. So we ought to read it. We ought to gird up our loins, steel our spines, and dig in to this book of blood. Leviticus chapter 14 tells us why Jesus sent those lepers to the priests. So here's what happened. In the early days of Israel, under Moses, when God gave the system of worship to Israel, they had built a place of worship called the tabernacle, a big tent. And the priests served in the tabernacle. And in there they offered sacrifices for the people. And in the center of the tabernacle was the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest could go in there on the Day of Atonement with a special sacrifice for the sins of the people. Around the tabernacle, the people of Israel camped. And they could only approach so far towards the tabernacle when they brought their sacrifices. So you had Holy of Holies, tabernacle, camp. And outside the camp were the lepers. The people who were not allowed to be with the rest of God's people. They were made to live outside the camp, and the priests would go and check on them, check on their health, on the condition of their skin. And if they were deemed to have been healed from their leprosy, then the priest would bring a sacrifice of a bird. He would take two birds, one bird, he would kill it, and drain the blood from that bird over a bowl of clean water. And then taking the second live bird, he would hold that bird along with a scarlet piece of yarn, a branch of hyssop, and a plank of cedar. And he would dip those things in the water and blood and sprinkle them on the leper. And then he would let the live bird go to fly away. Now, if you think that means the leper is clean, not yet. Now that leper is allowed back into the camp, but he may not sleep in his tent. Instead, he must stay outside his tent. He must shave off all his hair, wash all his clothes, and wash all of his body, and remain outside for 7 days. Then after 7 days, he repeats. He shaves all his hair off, washes his clothes, washes his body, and then he goes to the priest with an offering of two male lambs and a ewe lamb and a grain offering. The priest then offers these sacrifices upon the altar. He takes the blood from the sacrifice and places it on the leper, on the lobe of his ear, on his thumb, and according to this ritual. And then, after this ritual, the leper is declared clean. No wonder so many people stop reading Leviticus. It's like, what is all this? We will get to that. We'll get to that by looking at the wisdom of the Samaritan. You know, when we read this reading, we tend to think the point, just like we thought the point of the Good Samaritan was, well, be like the Good Samaritan. Be nice to others. Be kind. Don't be like that bad priest and Levite who ignored the wounded person. And similarly, we think that the lesson here is be like the Samaritan who thanks God, who praises Jesus for what he's done. And don't be like those other 9 ungrateful lepers who went away and didn't turn back. You know, those 9 lepers, they get a bad rap. Why would they turn back? They were doing what Jesus told them to do. They would have been going to the temple. And they have sacrifices and 7 days outside the tent and more sacrifices all to do if they're going to be pronounced clean. And yet one Samaritan who probably had no clue what to even do when he saw the priest, because he's an outcast, he's an illegitimate child of Israel, he doesn't know about their worship, he turns around and goes back to Jesus. Why would the Samaritan need a priest to declare him clean, when the one who heals and cleanses the people of God is right there? Every sacrifice, every animal given, every grain offering brought, every festival kept, every ritual performed in the Old Testament served the purpose of pointing people to Jesus. We tend to think of the book of Leviticus as these rigid laws that people were meant to keep. But here's the deal. If you were a leper, if you were poisoned and sick, did God require that you be put to death? No. An animal was sacrificed in your place. If you had sin in Israel, were you required to be put to death? No. Sacrifices were made in your place. Blood was shed. And you know, you read a messy, bloody book like Leviticus, and you're reminded what a messy, bloody business sin is. And dear friends in Christ, we need that reminder. Because we will be content to tell ourselves that we're doing all right. We're getting by okay. Yeah, we do some things wrong from day to day. No, you're a leper. You are diseased. Sin is a curse. Sin is a death sentence. Sin infects you from head to toe, like a leprosy. It's contagious. It spreads. I'd like to invite you to consider what it would be like if someone could crawl into your mind and view your every thought, your every intention of your heart, your every desire, everything you have longed for, if that would all be stripped bare for someone else to see, then perhaps we would understand how wretched we really are. We are lepers. We are in need of being cleansed. One Samaritan recognized, there's no need to go to the priests. There's no need to bring birds and lambs and grain offerings. He knew he had the Lamb of God right before him. You might be tempted to think, you might think of yourself as some sort of priest. You might be saying, what in the world are you talking about? I've never thought of myself as a priest. No, we do this, you know. Whenever we think we can bargain with God, whenever we imagine that we're bringing him some sort of offering to get what we want in return. How many of us have thought that way about Sunday worship, right? I know, I think I even grew up thinking this way. It was sort of this idea that if I come to church on Sunday morning, I'm showing God that I'm beginning my week with him. I'm giving him an hour. I'm setting him aside. I'm putting him first. But God doesn't need your hour because God doesn't need sacrifices. You don't need a priest. Jesus Christ, as the book of Hebrews says, is your great high priest. He's also your sacrifice. You haven't needed a priest since 2,000 years ago when the Lamb of God was nailed to Calvary's cross and shed his blood for you. And when he gave his life into death and said from that cross, "It is finished," that word pronounced you clean. You were pronounced cleansed from the leprosy of sin. You were pronounced healed from the disease of death. You were pronounced restored from that which threatens to undo you. Jesus is both priest and sacrifice, the one to whom all of Scripture has been pointing from the very beginning, from the start of Genesis to the end of Revelation. It's all about Jesus, the one who gives his blood. I referenced Revelation, or I'm sorry, not Revelation. I referenced Leviticus to you this morning. Let me read a little section from Leviticus 14 describing the offering that is offered by the priest on behalf of the leper. "And the priest shall take one of the male lambs and offer it for a guilt offering. And he shall kill the lamb in the place where they kill the sin offering and the burnt offering, in the place of the sanctuary. For the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest. It is most holy." There's a whole lot of blood throughout the pages of Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, and especially in the book of Leviticus, because it takes blood to pay for sin. Your sin is paid. Your leprosy is cleansed. Because of the guilt offering that is the Lamb of God, who was put to death not on the altar of the temple or the tabernacle, but on the altar of the cross, that you would be washed, that you would be restored, that you would be made new in the one who is your priest. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand for prayer.